Reading from the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 7, Chapter 7, Text 93. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Stuvata Ramanoktam Yad Vridhavyaktam Natan Misha Kesham Pratyupakareham Asakto O Mahalini, the praise offered by the Venerable Brahma was not spoken in vain. I could never fully repay these devotees, and so I am utterly indebted to them. Commentary: Krishna is the all-powerful Supreme Lord. At his command are boundless energies ready to fulfill his every desire. But he cannot repay his debt of gratitude to his devotees in Sri Vrindavan. But he constantly looks for the small favors he can do for them as a token of his affection. Thus he constantly looks for small favors he can do for them as a token of his affection. As Brahma stated while praising Krishna's super excellence, my mind becomes bewildered just trying to think what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You're the embodiment of all benedictions, which you shower upon those residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You've already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, bodies, children, relations, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you? Bhagavatam 10:14:35. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Daksurim Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vairagya Yug Bhakti Visham Payatnai Apayama Manadipsamandam Kripam Bhuhiya Paradukaduki Sanatanastam Prabhumasyami Vansha Kopa Turuyasha Kripa Sindhu Baye Vacha Patitanam Pavebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from New Jersey. A nice program last night at Gopikishore Radha's, actually in the afternoon. Um, So I think we can just really begin getting into the text itself. I don't have to give too much review. You should be on base with what our discussion is, because I believe most of our listeners are quite regular. We have the search of Narada, who has come to Dwarka in his progressive search for the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. And what is God's mercy? God's mercy is himself, which he gives to one who loves and wants God. And the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy is that devotee with the most forceful and intense love, whom Krishna gives himself to, the most fullest. That's mercy. Mercy is the experience of reality, and reality is God. Reality is Krishna. And the most powerful revelation of reality is the heart of reality, which is given the most fully in the most intimate and intense relationship. So Narada's progressive search leads him to Dwarka. And now we're at the part of the dialogue where Krishna himself is going to reveal his topmost devotees. And right now he's talking to Satyabhama. She's one of the queens of Dwarka. And she became privy to the fullest manifestation of her husband Krishna's heart in relationship to the residents of Vrindavan, specifically the gopis. And while the other queens were not only non-envious in seeing Krishna's love for the gopis in Navavrindavan, but it made them even more ecstatic in their relationship with Krishna. They saw a beauty, a depth of beauty that had not even been revealed to them. As their love is restrained by the duties and formalities that they have as the and social obligations that they have as the wife and queen to the king. So now we're seeing, and Satyabhama, because she has a particular mood of love, which is Krishna is Rasa Shekhar, he's the Rasika, he's the connoisseur of love in all its varieties. And his pleasure is the intensity of his energies, his shaktis, which try to please him and therefore have an element of devotion pervading them. But he enjoys a variety of loves because the very definition of Krishna is akila rasam rita murti. The akila, the complete rasam rita murti embodiment, rasam rita, of the happiness of a variety of relationships that we see manifested here in this world, which are just a shadow reflection of what exists in the ultimate reality in perfection. And there's a certain reasonableness to that, where we see the universal acceptance in our experience of pleasure being love of pleasure being love. So it exists in its full embodiment in the ultimate reality, which is the spiritual realm. So Satyabhama has a variety of love. And of course, it's not at all mundane. To think it's mundane is to think that gold and iron are the same thing. They have a similar quality that they're metal, but their value and utility and beauty are in such contrast. So although there's a similarity in form between what we will read between Krishna and the gopis, and our experience of these relationships here, although there's a similar quality in the sense that the form, the base, appears to be the same, the direction of the intensity in the relationships is really much different, because the intensity in the relationship of the pure love called prema bhakti is simply the pleasure of one's beloved without any tinge of any self-gratification out of the activity. It's kevala bhakti. It's only love. It's only devotion. And that love and devotion, which is only devotion, is the pure manifestation, the bliss potency of the absolute reality, which is put into the hearts of his devotees so that the absolute reality can experience love, which requires that it comes to one from the perspective from the position of outside oneself. Although there is nothing outside of the absolute reality, for his pleasure, he has shaktis and differentiated parts and parcels that, although are advayam gyan, which are non-different from him in the sense that they are composed and within the body of the absolute reality, they function separately for the purpose of offering love and devotion, which is God's highest pleasure, which manifests in so many varieties of ways. So in this conjugal relationship, this intensity of relationship that is fueled by the bhava or mood of the selfless love and desire to please the object of one's love, it manifests in slightly different ways. And the basic two ways is a submissive love and a feisty or contrary love. So Satyabhama represents that. And therefore, she's very upset. And when Krishna comes back from Navavrindavan to the palace, of all the queens, she is not there to greet him, which is a transgression of etiquette in that type of relationship. The queen should be there to greet the king who has gone out. And now Krishna is upset with Satyabhama. And Satyabhama now, although she's usually very feisty, she's a little bit fearful, because she realized she's overstepped the bounds. And now Krishna is going to reveal to Satyabhama, because apparently she doesn't seem to appreciate or understand his love for the Brijvasis. He's going to explain why he loves the gopis so much. And therefore, in this particular section, through the mouth of Satyabhama, we are going to hear the glories, the unparalleled devotion and love of the residents of Vrindavan through the mouth of Krishna, because he's going to reveal his own feelings and what inspires him so much about the selflessness of the Brijavasis, their simple, pure, spontaneous love. From our perspective, naturally, there's a slight danger in hearing these subjects. I explained that before, that they have to be understood either from the frame of reference of an experience of devotion that's intense enough for us to see something quite different than our experience of these relationships in the world. And that's a purity of devotion and love that's unparalleled. Or we have to understand it from the platform of tattva or philosophy, to understand that they're not, it's not love as we have experienced it that's being exchanged, but it's something completely transcendental to the modes of material nature. Otherwise, the warning is that by prematurely hearing these things without a sufficient experience of devotion or love, or without a sufficient maturity in philosophical understandings, we will project our own mundane experience of these forms onto the pastimes of Krishna and create a samskara or impression in our consciousness that will be an impediment for us to understanding these pastimes as we mature and advance in Krishna consciousness. And this was the strict warning of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada, that we approach them in a mood of service. We approach them in the mood of the eye of devotion. And we approach them in a mood of reverence, that we consider these things high above our own experience. And we bow our head in service to the pastimes. So now Krishna is speaking and explaining to Satyabhama. And he tells it the praise offered by Brahma was not in vain. It's true. And Brahma, what did Brahma said? He's bewildered just thinking of what reward other than Krishna that can be found. How can Krishna repay the love of his devotees? You reciprocate in love, in cognizance, not in cognizance, but in feeling to what you have received. Krishna rewards as one surrenders, he rewards. So as you give to someone, naturally they reciprocate. And the more you love, the more you give yourselves to them, the more they're naturally inspired to reciprocate. But what can you give, Lord Ma says, except yourself? Just like there's a verse in the Bhagavatam where I forgot where I write. I'm sure it's in my study of Bhakti Sandarbha. So it said, you know, a devotee may pray for material things. And then Krishna said, for that foolish devotee, I will satisfy the desires. But that's all they'll get. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted a kingdom greater than his grandfather, Lord Brahma. And when he prayed for it, and Krishna reciprocated and personally appeared, he compared that kingdom, that sovereignty over the world, he compared that to getting the darshan of Krishna, to seeing the beauty of Krishna. He compared it like broken glass to diamonds. Again, a similarity, but the value of one is inestimably greater. So Krishna is now explaining in a general way, I'm indebted to them. I'm indebted to them. They gave me so much, how can I repay it? I'm just completely in debt because they gave me more than I can ever repay. And what did they give? They gave themselves. They gave the intensity of their desire to please Krishna. And that's what this is going to be described. Even if you can't get over from projecting something material on these pastimes, and as Krishna's explaining how much they love, maybe even is this possible that there can be love to this degree? But at least appreciate that there's an expression here, something to give us a grasp or a vision or a channel to understand something about the spiritual reality, which is ruled by devotion and love, ruled by devotion and love to the highest degree, called rasa vai saha. That's ultimately what exists. Mayachitad apasrayam. The energies, Krishna exchanging with his energies. When Vyasadeva finally saw reality to the extent that he could write the book describing reality, when he finally saw reality, when he see apashyat purusham purnam, he saw that there was an absolute person, that reality is personal. Reality is loving. Reality has tastes. Reality engages in relationships and has an unlimited capacity to do so individually. But what did he see? He saw a Pashat Purusham Purnam, that Purusham Purnam, that complete supreme person. And what did he see? What reality was? Maya Chitad Apasayam. He saw Maya, or energies, emanating from that absolute reality and serving that absolute reality in exchange of affection that creates an experience of rasa, or intense love, an ocean of that love, in which that absolute reality is eternally bathing. So it says Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He has boundless energies, ready to fulfill his desires and wanting to fulfill his desires. So he has shaktis and potencies that love him. So he can offer energies and shaktis that want to serve him to satisfy the devotee. But he feels he cannot give them anything greater than what they already have, which is that love in their heart. They have the supreme shakti. That's the definition of devotee. A devotee is one who has the full shakti of God, the full potency of God, the full desire to please God, flowing through his heart towards God. How can Krishna give somebody anything higher than that, which is a heart filled with love and happiness? What more than that do we want? And when we have that in our heart, and it is directed towards the absolute reality, he'll want to reciprocate. But what can he give more than that? Therefore, he says, when the gopis come with a heart full of that love to offer at his lotus feet, he says, Napariyeham, I cannot repay you. That is how great your love is. I cannot repay you. And therefore, he looks for something he can do for his devotee. So how nice to be able to serve a pure devotee. Because that's the greatest service to God, because that's God's greatest desire and greatest anxiety. How can I repay my devotee? So if you can please a devotee, how pleasing is that to God? And when Brahma meditates on that, he becomes bewildered. Because Krishna is so merciful, he's already given himself to Putana. In exchange for herself disguising herself as a devotee, even though she wanted to kill him. So what is left to give to the residents of Vrindavan? Brahma ponders, who has given you everything. So now Krishna will continue his praise, revealing the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy, of the Brijvasis, whom he wants to give to them, who he wants to give himself to the fullest. Yadi cha pitaye te cham patrayami visami cha tatapi kim api swastyam bhavyam nalo chayam yaham. But even if for their pleasure I were to return to live with them, I don't see how that will help. And now will come a very interesting description of the intensity of their love. That their love is so great that they're feeling this intense separation called viraha bhav, which rather than diminishes as time goes on in the absence of Krishna, it's eternally increasing. And that bhava, that mood of separation, is constitutionally part of their heart. Because the prema that flows through their heart, to keep that flow of prema at its highest degree for the pleasure of Krishna, which is their sole objective in life, it requires, as Srila Guru Gobind Maharaj says, an embankment of union and an embankment of separation. So now Krishna is going to describe what that love is like. I want to read the verses, but I just don't have the light. Here it may be. Madikshanare bhavaga bhagara bhavo tayena labdha kalava mohan nadahi kam kinchana tena deham vidurna chatmanam mohokimanyat. Just by seeing me, they become so dazed and bewildered by ecstasies from deep within that they fail to recognize their own bodies and everything that has to do with their bodies, what to speak of the rest of the world. So this is a description of the Vaishnav Samadhi, where out of love and devotion, there's such a meditation on the object of their devotion that they're no longer cognizant of anything else but the object of their meditation, which is the object of their devotion. And that itself is the classical definition of samadhi, that you're so focused there's no cognizance of anything else. So Krishna is saying, if I return, by seeing me, they'll lose contact with the world completely. And so he's saying, whether I am there or whether I'm gone, there will be the same result. They'll be out of touch with reality. He says, I'm not really seeing what the difference is. Because when the devotee sees the beauty of Krishna, and I pray that one day we all see the beauty of Krishna and can appreciate the beauty of Krishna and drink the beauty of Krishna, whom we love, whom we have a relationship with, then our prema will inflame into the most intense ecstasy called bhavas. and we have Satvika Bhavas. We'll drink the beauty of Krishna. And our minds will become so agitated, not in a bad way, but it'll become so I'll just say agitated, that the prana, the life airs in our body, the life airs are the channel by which the spiritual energy flows through the body, will also begin to vibrate. And according to the particular emotion that we're having, the vibration will dislodge a particular element in our body of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And according to the element that it will dislodge, there'll be powerful symptoms. If the water element is dislodged, then Ganga waters of tears will flow through our body. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did kirtan at Puri, and all the 14 kirtan parties joined together resembled a cloud pouring rain because the devotees were just crying. The Ganga flow of tears would come through the eyes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Comes in contact with the air element, one will be trembling. And according to the intensity of the emotion, the trembling will either increase or decrease in duration, in intensity, and in pervasiveness of the body. So this will happen to the gopis for sure when they see Krishna. And they'll for sure lose their eternal external consciousness. And in this exceptional trance, in which their love for him has heightened to the highest degree, Krishna's heart will melt. And he'll reveal himself in full with his attributes, with his associates. So this is actually the highest form of ecstasy. And one who experiences this, the full revelation of God, his attributes, his associates, his loving dealings, varieties of devotees, one who has experienced the absolute reality and the fullest manifestation of his heart, that's the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. And Madhurya Kandambani it describes when a spiritual and a perfected soul in his sadhana awakes in the spiritual world, and the first thing he sees is Krishna. And it's such an overwhelming experience that he sees Krishna with all his senses. Like I say, Prabhupada, you should also, you're seeing Prabhupada through your hearing now. So they see Krishna through their hearing, through their sense of touch, through all the senses. Taste. They're just experiencing Krishna in every way. And then they faint, and they're woken up by Krishna's sonorous voice, "My dear devotee, please rise." And then they hear Krishna through all the senses. Look, when you see Prabhupada, you may also hear his Vande Hum Shri Guru. You may also hear. And then they wake up again. They fainted and they smell the fragrance of Krishna through all their senses. And finally, the devotee wakes up in Krishna's arms and feels the touch of Krishna and the taste of Krishna. And each of the senses have a full revelation of the fragrance, form, sound, feel, and taste of Krishna. And that's the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. In either case, when the Brijvasis see him, they forget their own bodies and everything connected with him, family, social position, responsibilities, and so on. They forget whatever plans they may have had for success in this life and the next. Therefore, since the Brijvasis, upon seeing Krishna again, would lose all contact with reality, Krishna sees no hope of restoring them to health by returning. His going back to them would only make their condition worse. So their pain won't be relieved, Krishna says, even by seeing me. Their hearts will be so disturbed by thoughts of separation from me that whatever measures I take for their happiness will only double their grief. So Krishna is thinking their suffering will only get worse. But on the other hand, there's also an understanding that if you experience Krishna internally in the mood of separation, Krishna will actually manifest before you externally. And both experiences of Krishna will manifest side by side, where even other pure devotees like Dhruva Maharaj, when Krishna's in the heart, he disappears externally. And he doesn't manifest externally from their vision of Krishna in the heart. Nor when you see Krishna externally is he manifest fully in their heart. But it seems that these Brijvasis, their love is so deep. In the trance of separation, they're aware of nothing but Krishna. And their ecstasy is so deep in separation and remembering Krishna that Krishna is actually physically before them. Other pure devotees whose love for Krishna is not on the same level of perfection have experiences of him internally and externally. Dhruva, for example, concentrated his mind on Lord Vishnu in deep trance, but his internal vision of the Lord did not expand into a vision outside that of the gopis. Today, I'm in New Jersey. I will go upstate New York, so I may have a 3.5-hour drive. And I don't know if you all know TJ and Melinda, who I met up there. And their daughter, Tulsi, will have her first grain ceremony. So I'll go up there and stay at my country residence. So I'll stop a little early today, given the time for any questions or people to say hello. Main idea is, through Krishna's mouth, we're describing how the degree of love of the residents of Vrajbasis that are unrestrained by any degree of formality, and how much he reveals himself to one with this extraordinary level of love, which the indication is we should become attracted to serving in the same way. And that's the perfection of life. To covet that type of relationship. Okay, anybody like to ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Hey, Haribo, Gail.
I had a couple of vocabulary questions, but you just made a statement about Guru Maharaj. You know, you said that with the gopis, they experience Krishna in two ways simultaneously, I think. Both as the Bhava manifestation and externally. But with Dhruva, I thought that it was the same for him, because first he was meditating on Krishna and then he manifested externally.
Yeah,
was it not simultaneous?
No. Let me just read what's said there. I can only repeat the purport. Other pure devotees whose love for Krishna is not on the same level of perfection have separate experiences of him internally and externally. Dhruva, for example, concentrated his mind on Lord Vishnu in deep meditation, but his internal vision of the Lord did not expand into a vision outside like that of the gopis. Only when Lord Vishnu came to Dhruva to offer him special mercy did the Lord disappear from Dhruva's heart to show himself externally.
Uh-huh.
As described in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, quote, the form of the Lord, which was brilliant like lightning, and on which Dhruva Maharaj in his mature yogic process was fully absorbed in meditation, all of a sudden disappeared. Thus Dhruva was perturbed. His meditation broke. But as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw the personality of Godhead personally present, just as he had been seeing the Lord in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
The full vision of Krishna's beauty, relished by the Vrajbasis, is thus the ultimate fruit of spiritual perfection. One might suggest, therefore, that if Krishna were to present himself once more before the Vrajbasis, their condition would certainly improve. This might be true, but to recover from the intense pain of separation would take time. And the Vrajvasis, thinking Krishna might leave again, might relapse into their trance of separation. Therefore, Krishna thinks that returning to them would only cast them deeper into suffering. Okay?
Yeah, so I was just wondering, I mean, to say he was with them both internally and externally. So,
yeah.
I guess I don't understand the separation.
Yeah, it's a deep subject.
Mm. Oh, can I just squeeze in the vocabulary questions?
Yeah.
To translate, rasa vaisaha, what's the translation for?
It's from the Upanishads. It means he is rasa. He is that exchange of love. That is the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is God and God's energies. which create rasa or the experience of intense love.
Okay. And in sattvika, when you say sattvika bhav, what is that?
Sattvika does not mean the mode of goodness. It means coming from sat or reality. It's different than sattvic. Sattvika bhav means bhavas that come from the pure spiritual consciousness.
Uh-huh.
I myself have asked this question of great sages. Sattvika means of sat, of spiritual. What it is from Krishna, from that sat, from that ultimate reality, comes a bhav. It is not a product of the mode of goodness.
Mm-hmm.
It's sat. Sat is indicating eternal reality, you know, Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
And thank you for coming yesterday with your family.
Oh, yeah.
We all sat and listened. And it was a bit of a union-type mood. A lot of Tawako Vasis were there.
Yeah.
From 15 years ago, meaning we're getting old. It means you're at least 39 now, yeah.
I'm going to say, speak for yourself.
Yeah, but it's nice to see your daughters and that they have such a nice attraction to hearing about Krishna. That's great. Okay. Does your daughters go to college yet?
Do they what?
Go to college yet?
In September.
Where?
Rutgers.
Okay, Rutgers. Hopefully. Okay, good. Okay. Anybody else want to say hello?
Hello, Mr. Guru Maharaj. This is Gordon Das.
Okay, thank you. I have those Tulsis and those breads that your family made. It's actually worked out good. Thank you. It's nice also to see your family.
Welcome back.
Anybody? Who's that?
Mother Indrani. Welcome back.
Wow, Mother Indrani. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Wow, such a powerful voice. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Is this?
This is Chris in Pennsylvania.
We missed you yesterday.
Yeah, sadly I couldn't make it.
You had some other obligations.
Yeah, it was my daughter's birthday.
Oh, you know, somehow or other, it's so amazing that I that picture you gave me of your daughter, I have right here.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. In her purple sari, and I believe it is it, and maybe yeah. Okay, how old is she?
She's 7. Just turned 7.
Tell her that Maharaj sends his blessings, okay, and he'd like to come over and visit sometime. Okay.
That would be great. We would love that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Haribol.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my most humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna Nanda Dulal. Thank you. Good. You know, we had a lot, Nanda Dulal, we had a lot of people from Australia. Kula, Deep, and I don't know if you remember Bob, Srinivas was there, Mahamuni, Gail, and then some young people that were coming around, Neil and Brian that used to come off. A lot of people from that time. Gail, of course, and from the, what is it called, the golden era of Tawako.
Oh,
We missed Maharaj.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hari Bol Maharaj, Chaitanya Priya.
Wow, very loud and clear from the West Coast, Seattle. Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Priya.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say? We got...
Guru Maharaj, Hare Krishna. This is Vrajarada Deva.
Rajarade, thank you again for the. I did my worship this morning. You've sent Tulsi and those breads to, you know.
I kept the Giwiks also, Maharaj. Did you see them?
Giwiks? Let me see. I didn't check the bag fully. Okay.
Yeah,
thank
I
you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Radhe, Radhe. Gaurisa Prabhupada.